Previously on Talk to Dad.
I think Santa just wanted me to stop living in filth.
I never have to leave the house. I could just put on sweatpants and sweatshirts and slippers.
Octopuses like to punch fish, new research suggests.
Well, I mean, it's a baby elephant. Maybe he just ran out in the middle of the road without thinking about it.
By day, I'm a qualified medical specialist. By night, I save baby elephants.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 230. I've got Henry here with us.
Hello.
And Will.
Hello.
And Allison.
Hi.
How's it going, everyone?
Actually, really good.
Pretty good.
I've been having a good winter break, I think.
I have a hot take.
What?
Oh, no.
This Christmas season has been one of the best ever.
Honestly, yeah.
For us, personally.
Like it has been. Like,
yeah.
That seems strange because we're still in the pandemic. We're still sort of under quasi-lockdown. We're not really going places or doing the normal things we would be doing. We're not inviting people over for parties or anything like that. But I feel like this Christmas to New Year's stretch has been a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. I think, like, I feel like since Christmas and onward, I've been, like, the break has been doing to me what I think, like, breaks from school are supposed to do, which is, like, it's helped me, like, set my priorities straight and, like, realize, like, what's important and stuff and, like, what creative projects to kind of scrap, what creative projects to keep going with, stuff like that.
Yeah, see, you've only got one day left. Monday you have off school.
I thought you were going to say that this break is, like, doing what it's supposed to, and that's allow you to get caught up on sleep.
True. Although, I feel like it was like that for me in the first week, but, like, after that, not at all.
Have you had a good break, Henry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, after the first week, I feel like at this point, I just kind of want to go back to school.
Oh, that's perfect timing.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
We have mixed feelings about that. It's been kind of nice just because I think part of it is, like, we're not stressed out about, like, going somewhere or, I don't know, it's just nice to be home and eat good food and play games. We've been playing a lot of games. We have played a lot of Uno. And if I can make an Uno observation, I think the important thing about Uno is establishing the house rules at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
That is important.
Which are the special rules we do?
Yeah. A lot of people have different rules they do for Uno. Like the way we've been playing it here, can I give the house rules to our podcast listeners?
Okay. They're extended rules that we choose to have. They're not like special
to us.
That's
what house rules are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what house
but
rules
like,
are.
House other people
are
do these extended rules.
Whatever extended rules you choose to use in your house, those are the house rules.
These are just what my friends did, really.
Yeah. So the ones we've been doing is regular Uno, regular Uno rules, but three variations. One is if you have the exact same card, say it's a green three, and it gets played, you can jump in with the green three, and then the
like
order,
even if it's not your turn,
the order restarts at your position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But you have to lay it down before the next person lays down their card.
And it can be on your turn.
And we, I think we only say this because my friends did it or do it this way, but we always yell like jump in.
Yeah. You don't have to.
I know you do.
You don't have to. The way we play, you don't have to, but it's kind of fun, especially if you say it really loud and startle people.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we've been doing is stacking. So if it's a draw four or a draw two, you can put it on top of that, and then the next person has to draw. You don't, but the next person does. So if it's like a draw two, and you put down a draw two, the next person has to draw four. If they have a draw two, the next person has to draw six, and so on.
I think I'm not sure if that's like a common rule that a lot of people do, or just like that one time when I played Uno with my friends, they did that. Also, I think like the name stacking goes to a different special rule, but yeah.
Well, you can also put down multiple. Like if you have two of the same card, you can put them both down at the same time.
And then the other rule that we just needed to clarify, and I admit that I don't know 100% what the actual Uno rules are, but how we've been playing is if you have just one card left, you have to say Uno before you put down your second to last card. The way I always played it when I was a kid was as long as you say Uno before the next person puts down their card, you're safe. But the way we've been playing it is you have to say Uno before you put down your second to last card.
And if you forget, then someone else can say Uno.
And we have been playing.
There's been
some killer games of Uno. I think once we establish those ground rules, it's been pretty fun.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had kind of some epic Uno games.
Yes. We've also yeah. been playing a lot of Five Crowns.
Mm, such favorite. A fun game.
Yeah. Yeah. William always pretends complains. Not to like it, but he always I mean, has fun.
Yeah, you always honestly, complain, yeah. but yeah, you yeah. seem like you enjoy
it. Five Crowns is a fun game to play.
Especially when you're winning.
I always end up disappointing myself, though.
It's you play it with a special deck that is Five Crowns, and it has five suits from three to king, and then it's like sort of a progressive gin rummy game, if that yeah. means anything to you.
By the way, the last two times we played it, me and Mom have tied for points overall.
Which is weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
I had the best Five Crowns game of my life, probably, that I will ever have the last time
yeah,
we played.
You yeah, only
I
think got,
I scored 36 points.
Yeah, 36. And the only time you got one in double digits was a 13.
Yeah.
And like a normal game for me is like 300 points or something like that.
Not that much, but like
it's 200. It's
like 150 to 200 yeah. is, I mean, you know, not going to win most games, but that's kind of an average.
And it's, let me clarify, it's a game where the lowest score is the best.
Yes. So
yeah.
That yeah. was.
It's like the number of, like, cards and, like, the number of points you have left.
I've also been playing a lot of Machikoro,
yeah,
which is a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Very fun.
If you've never played it. I recommend, and I think everyone at the table here will recommend, the original pack versus the expansion pack.
Yeah.
It's just a
yeah.
better game.
Or at least
the fundamentals of the game work a lot better.
It's like a... You get it's like a card game, but you get to build your own
town.
I guess, city or town yeah. or whatever.
To me, it's sort of like a combination of a card game and Monopoly, except it doesn't have a lot of the frustrating things that Monopoly has.
Yeah, it's yeah. actually fun.
Yeah, it's not as it's realistic. Me, it's more fun.
Yeah,
it's very fun. And there's something that you can do no matter whose turn it is. Usually,
yeah. So you get you to pay to... attention because things can happen that benefit you on someone else's turn.
Yeah.
Just. And if you've played Machikoro, you know this is a big thing. If you haven't, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you ever start to play it, you need to get the cheese factories first. It doesn't
well,
sound
I mean,
important.
First you need to get the ranches, then you can get cheese factories.
I mean,
to,
like,
also.
Get rephrase that. You need to be the first person to get the cheese factories.
And the ranches.
It doesn't sound important, but
you
it,
would need the ranches
it's very important.
Yeah.
I won a couple of times, though, without ever having a single cheese factory.
Yeah, I don't think the last couple of times we've played it, nobody's won with cheese factories.
It's right. like
well, that's because we sabotaged Dad's acquisition of cheese factories oh, early on. By
last time I won, I think I went from like last place to first place because I got a ton of restaurants. And how restaurants work is if someone else rolls the number, or sometimes it's two numbers, then they have to pay you a certain amount of restaurants based on how many restaurants you have.
You roll dice at the beginning of the game,
yeah,
or at the beginning yeah. of your turn,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like if it lands on like certain numbers and different cards will like activate.
Henry started collecting all the restaurants early.
Yeah. And then also actually super late into the game, I started collecting them just to make sure that William wouldn't win because it looked like Will was going to.
Yeah.
But there's cards where like you get a certain amount of money from the bank on anyone's turn. There's cards where like you get like a lot of money from the bank on your turn only. The Cheese Factory, and there's a couple other cards like this, but the Cheese Factory is like for every type of a card you have, you gain a certain amount of money if you roll a 7 on your turn. And I remember, Dad, you had like, you bought 4 cheese factories last time, but they weren't as powerful as my 2 cheese factories because,
yeah. because I didn't have the same multipliers ranches. As you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a fun game.
It's a fun yeah. game. I recommend it. I
tried to monopolize the cheese factory market, but.
We've also been playing a little bit of this, this, that, and everything, which is like a sort of, it's not really trivia. It's more like a clue giving. Like you have a bunch of answers and you have to give clues to get people to guess those.
Mm-hmm.
They're either Wait. A person, place, or a thing.
Did we yeah. play that?
Yeah.
We've been playing that somewhat. We haven't played it in a little, in probably over a week, but we've been playing some of that. Mm-hmm. What's a game like that we haven't played that we should be playing?
King of Tokyo.
King
yeah,
of Tokyo
that was my first
is a
thought.
Family favorite.
Oh, we did play Pit that one time when Elizabeth
that
was here.
Fun.
A little bit of Pit.
I like Sequence. But
Sequence is fun.
Yeah, I don't like
Will
Sequence.
I like
I don't
Sequence.
Know why. I just don't.
It's fun. It's a good strategy game.
If you're paying attention,
like while playing it.
If you're paying attention, it's a good game. If you're not paying close attention, it's kind of a terrible game.
Either way, I just don't like it. I don't know why.
Elizabeth got me a game called Someone Has Died, which we haven't played it yet. Apparently, I think it's kind of, it's like an improv game, but I think it's a little bit, maybe a little bit like I don't know, apples to apples, where like a judge has to say who does the best job with. And the premise is you're at a will reading, I think, either a will reading or a funeral. I think it's a will reading, and you have to make the best argument for why you should be the one to receive the proceeds of the will, I think, is the premise.
So it's about profiting off of the person who died?
Yes. Yeah, it's about just being like a really like...
making up a good story.
Yeah.
Someone with a lot of money just died.
We haven't played it yet, so I may be getting some of those details wrong, but it looks like it will be fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Thanks, Elizabeth, if you're listening.
Elizabeth also showed us how to play a game called Coup. Mm-hmm. I don't think I played. I think I just watched everyone else play.
No, you played. You just got out super early.
I got out super early, and I think I had to do some work when you guys were playing or something like that weird.
That was pretty good. That was like a kind of Bang type game, but it's a lot shorter than Bang.
Yeah, where you have an identity, and people don't know exactly what your identity is until at some point later in the game.
But you can change identity.
Bang is a fun game, too. It's a card game. Mm-hmm. It's fun to just be with the family and play games and eat food. And we've had a lot of good food this holidays. Any food that stands out?
You know, your garlic cheese sourdough pull apart creation for New Year's Eve. I don't know what it's called like officially, but it's like a loaf of bread.
If you Google pull apart garlic cheese bread.
Right.
That you can find about 50 recipes for it. It's one of those things where it's barely a recipe, because basically what it is you take a loaf of crusty bread and you cut it diagonally in two directions so it kind of has a grid on top of it. And then you dump some melted butter that has powdered garlic in it over the bread. And then you dump some grilled cheese over the bread. And then you wrap it up in tinfoil and stick it in the oven for about 20 minutes. Until it melts, and then you undo the tin foil so that it can just
all the grated cheese just kind of
into it, and then you put it in the middle of the table and people can just grab a chunk out of it with like the cheese and the melted butter.
It's ridiculously good.
It really is. I think it was pretty good. I think it wasn't as good as Allison made tiramisu.
Except without coffee, because we don't drink coffee.
Except because we don't drink coffee, she used
there wasn't any alcohol either.
Cafix, which is sort of like a coffee substitute.
Yeah,
and some
I just
cocoa
made
powder
it
instead of
super
coffee powder.
Strong, and then you just dunk those little lady fingers in for a second and make it. It was very good.
It was really good.
Got up early New Year's
lady
Eve.
Lady fingers
day.
Is in the cookie.
Yeah.
Yes. Not actual ladies' fingers.
We actually talked about those last
that would
week.
Be gross.
We didn't use ladies' fingers.
Or was it 2 weeks ago?
I think
we
it's
had
two
some
weeks.
Lady fingers.
It was
oh,
last
it was last
no,
week.
No,
it was last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
We used the leftover ones, or mom used the leftover
and
ones.
And I made,
to make
because there aren't very many of us, I made like the tiniest tiramisu recipe I could
it was
come
so
up with.
Darn good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I would make it again if I had another package of lady fingers, I might have made it again already, which would kind of defeat the purpose of making the tiniest recipe that I could figure out how to do. But
yeah,
I can get you a package of ladies' fingers.
It had, am I pronouncing this right? Mascarpone? Mascarpone?
Probably. You'll have to ask an Italian.
Cheese in it.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a custard almost.
Yeah. Well, you start with egg yolks and you just kind of egg yolks and sugar, and you just kind of whisk that together, like over a double boiler until they get, you know, until they're like cooked and they kind of start to thicken. And then you let it cool just a tiny bit, and, you fold in the mascarpone cheese, and then
some
you
cream.
Fold that into a whole bunch of whipped cream. And you just layer that with lady fingers that have just been like dipped very quickly in strong coffee or coffee substitute, which is what I did. I did Cafix, a little bit of cocoa powder, and a little bit of vanilla.
It was really good. And this was for New Year's Eve, which we just had a couple of days ago. So we had our basically stay-at-home New Year's Eve party. We also had some of those sparkling grape juices in three different flavors. We had some cheese and crackers. I don't know. It feels like we had so much food. Instead of having like an evening meal, we just had tons of snack food.
None of it. Yeah. None of it. Yeah. It felt like a lot. It was a lot.
Which is kind of a New Year's Eve tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. We did have a vegetable tray in there too, which I was glad about. It, somehow it felt a little bit less gross to be eating like vegetables in between all of those other things. But.
Yeah.
Elizabeth and Bex were there for like the first hour or so. Yeah. So it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun. I don't know. We played a game and we ended up watching The Naked Gun, which I'm going to go ahead and go on record and saying it wasn't as funny as I remembered it being.
It was had some really funny moments.
It had some funny moments.
Had some funny moments.
As Airplane.
But I felt like it wasn't as funny all the way through
there
as Airplane was.
Are some, it's PG-13.
Yeah, both
there
Airplane
are
and
some crude.
There's a
yeah.
couple
there's
of
a scene that you didn't edit out.
Well,
but,
okay.
Yeah,
so we
like
just felt really uncomfortable.
Yet again, it was a VidAngel, like a VidAngel watch, because we thought we learned our lesson after watching Airplane. But yeah, somehow, like, as I was selecting filters on VidAngel, anyone who hasn't used it, it's, you know, you can just basically edit out whatever, you know, you don't want to see or hear. There was one filter that they, you know, there were like 150 or something, you know, different filters available there. And I didn't select the one that was for statues. So if anyone's listening to this and like doesn't want to be super uncomfortable.
Because you might think like, nudity on statues is not that big of a deal.
But this
one,
it was pretty crude. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. That was kind of uncomfortable.
Honestly, the funniest part of that movie to me is just the opening credits with the police car.
Yeah.
It's like this point of view thing where like it looks like you're behind the wheel of the police car and you just see the flashing light ahead and you see like all of these things that the police car is driving over, driving past, driving into. And it's just extremely funny. And you just hear lots and lots of screams.
I liked the part where he like opened, he was like alone in a house and he like opened a drawer and went bingo. And they pulled out a bingo
pulled
sheet.
Out a bingo card.
Yeah.
That was classic.
I liked the part where like he's looking at like security cameras and then there's this button. There's all these buttons and one of them says piano and he presses it and then this like automatic piano comes on and just starts playing super loudly.
Stuff like that. And it, eventually it like went on and just stayed on and just played this like, it was like chase music. There's a lot of stuff like that that's like, it's a type of comedy or like a type of joke that I've definitely seen like a lot before. But it's kind of cool seeing that in like a movie that's from like the early 80s.
Like silly slapstick is what
so
it was.
So silly. And they just stuck
that was,
one
those
silly
were the funniest
moment.
Parts, I agree.
Yeah.
Like when someone's like monologuing and then someone's like doing this crazy stuff in the background and trying to stay focused.
Yeah. And they I think like the key to how funny it is just like that they just keep on going. Like they don't allow like, you know, any funny moment to have like breathing room.
Oh, actually.
They just layer them on top of each other.
Actually, my favorite moment might be like, so when like the main character is like this, I guess detective. Yeah. I guess that'd be the right word.
Like
when
a
he's
police
like,
detective.
Yeah. When he goes to like someone like near like a dock or something, he has to like, bribe him to get information, then the person that he's bribing has to bribe him to get information.
Yeah, so
they
just like are tossing money back
and forth.
And then he's
that was
like,
pretty funny.
He's like, you gotta change for
one of my
how
favorite scenes,
now?
Probably.
Yeah. How about like, now? I still don't talk.
I'm not gonna
let
say
it, funny.
I'm not
now
gonna say it on
talk?
The podcast. I'm not gonna say it on the podcast, but there is a pretty funny drug joke towards the beginning.
Yeah. There are some funny there are funny moments.
I remembered that OJ Simpson was in this movie.
It was nice that he wasn't
and
in that much of the movie.
And for some reason, I was thinking he was actually a bigger role than he actually had because he was only in it at the very beginning and the very end. And no matter how you feel about O.J. Simpson, you do get to see O.J. A lot of horrible things happen to O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's like all he's there for.
Which looking back on it,
hideous
takes
accidents.
On a different...
Yes.
Well, yeah, towards the beginning, they literally like shoot him 8 times and he like...
He's
like tumbling around
to...
and he like gets paint on his shoulder and like
and
his
then
face
he gets like
slams on cake and it's like ridiculous
and then like he
crushes his
window.
Fingers in the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the part where the police like has his like on and off again like cliche girlfriend in the office and she's like, I like policemen, and then all the policemen there just start going, hey, I'm a police.
That was a little bit funny.
Yep.
I'm a cop.
Yeah.
So that was New Year's Eve. It is now 2021. How do we feel about the new year?
Thank goodness.
I mean, so
yeah. I think everyone feels like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit superstitious about, I don't want anyone to say, I even feel nervous about saying it myself.
Well, it's got to be better than 2020.
This year can't possibly be worse.
You guys have to know. Everyone
knock on wood.
Yeah.
I used to think about that like a few months ago, but I've just given up. I just joke about it all the time now.
Well, you can't
2021.
Help. Yeah.
The best.
We can't help but think it couldn't be worse. You just can't help. I mean,
you can't.
I mean, it could. I'm sure it could be worse.
One
I don't want
to
think
things,
about how much.
One of the hard things about it is like everything that was bad about 2020 is still around right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what
that's
I was
not
going
to change overnight.
So 2021 is still in, unless there's like serious like extreme positives in the second half of the year. 2021 is still going to be like unusually bad. Just because of all the fallout of 2020.
Yeah, but 2020, you know, the first couple of months of 2020, at the time they seemed bad, but looking back on it, it actually was not as bad for the first couple
of
months.
You started out with like Australia on fire and an impeachment trial.
Oh, and
it just
also
went,
Iran.
And it went downhill. Oh, and Iran. Yeah,
and
forgot about that.
It's like you tripped and fell down a hill. Then you started rolling even faster.
I feel like fire was a reoccurring motif.
And then boulders started rolling down the hill, too.
Like, the world was literally on fire, like, in multiple instances. So many. There was so much fire.
Oh, and
in, like,
then you hit
story.
The ground, and then you get crushed by a boulder. Then somehow you keep on going down.
And
every month,
you
know you're at the bottom.
This is sounding like...
Like the Naked Gun.
Like the Naked Gun.
Every month had its own flavor of fire.
Perhaps.
There's so much fire. I don't know why.
Yeah. 2021 feels more optimistic. I don't know. There's something little bit hopeful about the new year.
I don't think 2021 is going to be worse than 2020. I'm going to knock on wood. Because I haven't felt like an overwhelming sense of dread.
Something I did a few minutes into 2021, which, like, I got to get my priorities right. So something I did the first few minutes into 2021 was I typed in 2021 by Vampire Weekend. It's a song that was released in 2019. And I immediately typed, "Who's watching this in 2021?" and commented that. And I was the first one to comment it.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have some exciting news from the world of... Some scientists that work with the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI, are very excited about a transmission coming from
Alpha
Proxima.
Every few months we get one of these stories.
Do you guys know where Alpha Proxima is?
Isn't that like
it's
one of the closest inhabitable Earths or inhabitable planets?
It's out in outer space.
It is Alpha approximately... a few light years away.
It is 4.24 light years from Earth. It is the closest star system to the Earth. It is a part of a star system that includes three stars called Alpha Centauri. Yeah. I used to think that Alpha Centauri... I said that wrong, huh? I used to think that Alpha Centauri was the closest star, but actually there are three stars that make up Alpha Centauri.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And Alpha Proxima is the closest star... within that system.
Okay.
Okay.
And astronomers that do what they call passive listening for extraterrestrial life, that is a place where they are really trying to focus in on, because it does have an Earth-like planet.
Yeah.
That is within what they call the Earth zone or the...
Goldilocks zone.
What's that?
Isn't it the Goldilocks zone?
The Goldilocks zone. Yeah. Sometimes it's called, where, you know, you could have the conditions for... the type of life that we have here on Earth.
Not too hot, not too cold.
And in 2019, there was a radio signal that was detected coming from Alpha Proxima. And it is believed that this signal is a result of technology.
Ooh,
so
that's cool.
What they try to do is they try to rule out. So, you know, radio waves. And if you really want to learn about this in depth, I recommend the second season of the podcast Wild Thing, because the podcaster who does that podcast really goes into depth about the search for intelligent life in the universe and talks to a lot of scientists, including some of the people involved here. But essentially, you know, everything around us emits radio waves, like everything, including like you.
Yeah.
You are emitting radio waves, very faint ones. Anything that has light emits radio waves, but technology emits very specific radio waves, what they call narrowband radio waves. Most things in nature, they have broadband radio waves. So the frequencies are kind of all over the spectrum. But this particular signal was a narrow band signal, and it only lasted for a certain amount of time, and then it repeated later. And the way that it repeated was detected when the radio telescopes were pointed at Alpha Proxima. There's an article, if you want to look it up, from the New York Times called "Was That a Dropped Call from ET?" And it goes, it's a really long article. I'm not going to give every detail that's in here, but they talk about how, you know, this effort has been going on for a long, long time, but lately they've kind of picked it up a little bit. And there is a particular a particular project called Breakthrough Listen, which was funded with $100 million by a Russian billionaire named Yuri Milner. And he's given money to these scientists to kind of beef up, and the technology has improved as well. So they can use these radio telescopes, and then they can use technology to filter out all of the different signals and try to, what they're trying to do is eliminate everything that they can explain and see what's left. And that's how they found this signal. They're still not sure. The scientists involved said they do believe it's technologically driven, but they're still not sure if it came from Earth or if it came from Alpha Proxima.
But so what? If it takes like multiple years for light to travel to us, then how many years does it take for sound to travel to us?
4.24 years. Because radio waves travel at the speed of light.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So all radio waves travel at the speed of light. And so if we were to send a signal out to Alpha Proxima, it would take 4.24 years to get there. And if they were to immediately send a response back, it would take 4.24 years to get back. So, you know, if we were having a conversation with them, it would take 8 years in between messages.
Nice. Imagine if the aliens.
8.5 years.
Yeah.
Imagine if the aliens had this like big event of like, all right, we're going to send a signal. And there's like this big countdown of 3, 2, 1. I mean, translated into English. And then they get their little laser gun to just shoot into space. They're like, all right, let's go home.
So there are a lot of things pointing to the fact that this signal may have come from Alpha Proxima, but they don't really know, because sometimes you can get interference that it comes from the Earth. It just happens to coincide with when they were looking at that. They had the radio telescope pointing in that direction. They give it as an example in the article that there was one signal that people were really excited about for a short period of time until they realized that signal only came during lunch hour when the microwave was running. And then they were like, oh, no. Well.
That's funny.
But the scientists are all very committed to, like, you know, if we can explain it using something from Earth or some known signal, we're going to do that. They're not just jumping on this must be something from ET. They're all very, very skeptical. But it is interesting and a little bit exciting. And they plan to publish a paper later this year to talk about their findings. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Who wants to share one of their stories?
I will.
Okay, Will.
Los Angeles pilot finally captures elusive jetpack man on video.
Okay, who here has heard about Jetpack Man? We haven't talked about this on the podcast yet.
No.
Before now, I was
unaware.
But it's
kind of a big story, especially in Southern California.
As of like about 10 minutes ago, I've been a huge fan of Jetpack Man. A longtime fan, I would even say. True fan. It says, the unidentified flying man in Los Angeles has finally been caught on video, soaring 3,000 feet above Palos Verdes near Catalina Island with a jetpack. A mystery aeronaut has been spotted at least twice before in summer and fall. That's weird that we haven't talked about it yet.
It shut down the airport. You're about to talk about this, so.
But now there's video posted to the Instagram account of Sling Pilot Academy, a local aviation school. There's a little, it's an Instagram post, saying, does he exist? With a little circle around the sun. It says, the video, which the school said it's one of its flight instructors recorded Monday, appears to show a solitary man sailing through the sky above the water off the California coast.
I watched the video. It's an Instagram video. And it looks really weird because there's this little tiny man that's just kind of like flying through the air. It's really
yeah,
strange.
It's weird.
I'm looking up like the video right now.
That's why jetpacks would terrify me. Like,
yeah, and jetpacks are real, just so everyone knows. It sounds like it's science fiction, like something from...
It sounds like Iron Man.
Yeah, but they are yeah. real, and the technology is getting a lot better.
Like, you're not even like in any... Like, your jetpack is your ship that you're like boarding. And that's terrifying. Like, at least when yeah. you're in an airplane, there's, like, a floor and a ceiling and everything. And people sometimes get panicked about that, but, like...
And you also have to have a way to land. Because it's not like you can just zip yeah. along at a couple hundred miles an hour and then just, you know... I don't know.
So I have Heck. A... like,
it's weird looking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a question.
You're just zooming.
Jetpacks, like, they're a thing. They exist. Where do you get one?
There is a jetpack. There is a company that manufactures them in Southern California.
Okay.
Does he give them to the man?
Oh, they're really expensive there. Is that your jetpack dealer? Man, you gotta get a better one.
Maybe you just build your own.
Maybe you could buy one used and
it's like a computer. It's probably better to build your own.
I got some
after Christmas.
Got some jetpack parts from some sketchy places.
And you just
so this guy, the one that was captured on video from a I think it was what did it say, an airplane test pilot, airplane instructor,
it was a flight school
flight school instructor that caught this video. They still don't know who it is in the video.
Well, yeah, it's so like blurry,
it's
and
mysterious
distant.
And no one has, you know, before it was really bad because it was like near the LAX airport and they actually had to like to shut the airport down for a little bit.
So What? So why is Jetpack Man considered dangerous?
So
because
it
can interfere
right
with
here.
The flight paths of other airplanes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It says if it is a and then many quotation marks guy in a jetpack, then it remains to be seen whether it is a legal flight test flight. Jetpacks are real. There's a manufacturer near Los Angeles, as we've discussed, or related to the jetpack sightings near LAX that recently caused disruptions to air traffic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's Jetpack Man's motivation? And like,
yeah, what's his
why
motive?
Would he do this?
What's
his motive?
Is he Daredevil? Is he a Tony Stark type character?
If we want to turn this into a different kind of podcast, we can talk about like the Jetpack Men are watching us.
Is he Rocket Man?
What kind of
Rocket Man?
What secrets do they have? What are they learning from up there watching us?
It was Rocket Man, right? The Disney movie from the 80s or 90s?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought that's the name of
The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer. That's what it was. Yeah.
The Jetpack Men are coming for us.
Yeah.
They're watching us.
It's pretty freaky.
With their jetpacks.
I don't know that I... Especially since it was 3,000 feet above
like
the air.
It's like a weird cryptid.
That's pretty high.
It's like a weird cryptid, but a very weird cryptid.
I could see it if you're just like maybe 50 feet above the air. Like,
would you need oxygen?
Like hovering?
Like, wouldn't the air get really thin?
It seems like it would, right?
Does he use like a mask maybe? Like a gas mask?
We need to... Let's try and get him on the podcast. Jetpack Man, if you're listening, please come on the podcast. We will use some... We will blur your voice.
We'll blur your voice.
How do you do that?
We think it's really impressive.
Voice changing technology so that, and we won't let anyone know who you are, but please come on the podcast and answer our questions.
We do think, please. because if you can manage to actually like get an internet router up there, then you can probably get some pretty good audio from there too.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in your jetpack to talk to you.
I think he just lives in a jetpack.
You're kind of a technological genius.
You can do it by Zoom.
How much food do you have up there? Is it good?
Zoom.
By zooming. Oh. Yeah, I think he just permanently has the jetpack.
Imagine being on a Zoom call.
He never, ever, ever comes down.
Imagine being on a Zoom call and one person is just like in the stratosphere. And everyone else just like in their business suits, like at home. And he's just in the sky.
I feel like that would make for better Zoom calls than I usually have.
I bet you get a lot.
Many questions about Jetpack Man.
He probably doesn't even have the worst audio on the Zoom call.
Maybe not.
All right, who wants to share their story next?
I can.
Henry? It's an important story.
I'm going to read the headline. Aggressive squirrel attacks recorded in Queens neighborhood.
This is very serious.
I mean, it's serious if you're living in Queens.
We can't joke about this. Can we not joke about such a sensitive subject?
If any of our listeners aggressive live in squirrels. Queens, then please watch out.
Please watch out for those darn squirrels. This is informative.
Yes.
If you haven't heard about the aggressive squirrels in Queens yet. So Queens is one of the five boroughs of New York. You know this, right?
And now for a very
then there's also like Brooklyn. I know there's other ones.
Manhattan. Brooklyn, Manhattan, Staten Island, and the Bronx.
Yeah.
What's basically going on is different people keep reporting that there's aggressive squirrel attacks. And, okay, I'm going to read a quote because quotes are interesting. One person said, "It just basically runs up my leg, and I'm like, okay, squirrel, hello, what are you doing?"
Yeah, that's not normal squirrel behavior to run up your leg.
He either bit or scratched me on my neck. Then I must have reached over, and the next thing you know, it's a cage match, and I'm losing. So there have been how many?
A few, anyway.
Someone's training them.
There have been at least five attacks from aggressive squirrels.
That's crazy.
That reminds me of, and this is like slightly more likely, but that reminds me of when there was like unusually aggressive coyotes.
Yes, but these are squirrels.
Well, do you remember like a couple of months ago, there were a bunch of aggressive, not squirrels. What are the other little animals? Raccoons. There were raccoon attacks happening. Yeah. And there was this video of this reporter, that went viral. He was like outside in Washington DC and he started like, it was like right before he was on air, but he totally got attacked by a raccoon and he like, and then was fighting it. Yeah. And he was fighting it.
But, and they went on air and then when he was on air, they're just a raccoon, you know?
It's like there's some sort of like supernatural event that's about to occur and the like energy from it is like reawakening this like.
Yeah.
All the animals.
The beginning of some strange sci-fi movie.
Where the first
was the squirrels.
All the small furry animals.
First time was the squirrels. No, first
are agitated.
First the monoliths and now the squirrels.
Yeah.
When I first saw this article, mom sent me this article. Allison, you know, Allison, your mom.
Oh, yeah.
She sent me this article. And when I first saw it, I thought that it probably was because they were rabid. But apparently squirrels don't usually get rabies.
Also, these weren't rabid either.
And rabid squirrels, not only do squirrels don't usually get rabies, but people don't usually get rabies from squirrels.
Yeah.
It's very unusual. And so they're saying this probably is not rabid squirrels, but then it makes you wonder what the heck is going on.
The monoliths speak to them.
They're just angry. They're angry squirrels.
It's just radio waves from the monolith.
That's really it. Don't like the architectural design of the monolith.
Or it's probably like some sort of like revolution thing, like they're starting an uprising.
They've decided.
Yes.
You know, there are enough squirrels in this world that they could probably, if they banded together, really do something.
Yeah, they could probably at least get close to weighing a rebellion.
They will succeed.
If the squirrels in our neighborhood allied themselves with the rabbits, we'd be done.
Yeah, the rabbits would destroy everything.
We'd be so terrified. Our neighborhood is surrounded by a bunch of pecan trees, and it's just like squirrel. It's like Manhattan for squirrels.
Yeah.
And also rabbits, mostly rabbits.
Yeah, the rabbits don't eat the pecans so much as they eat our
the rabbits
flowers
are around
and
the,
our flower beds.
Like houses, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So, if you live in Queens, you know it would be really horrible is if next week when we do the podcast, there are stories about other places that have aggressive squirrels. Like
dang it,
starts
it's a new pandemic.
Then the week after, we get attacked by a squirrel on the podcast.
What if it was
COVID related?
Holy cow.
What if it's like something that only happens with squirrels when they get COVID?
That would be so weird.
They become very aggressive.
And it turns out from the very beginning that the COVID was a squirrel project.
I don't want to think about that.
COVID was step one of the squirrel revolution.
It wasn't supposed to be for humans.
I really don't want to think about this, guys.
First,
this
it was
terrible.
The bats.
More things to worry about.
Than the squirrel. They tested it on bats.
Nope.
I think the squirrels created it.
We're going to move
on. There's some things we don't want to think about anymore, and that leads us to your story.
Yes, it does.
I don't want to think about squirrels anymore.
All right.
Darn squirrels.
Have you heard of the banished words list?
No.
Lake Superior State University releases a banished words list annually.
Oh, that's a good segue.
Yeah. This is from WXYZ. Lake Superior State University, that's in Michigan, is celebrating the end of 2020 with the release of their annual banished words list. The university has compiled this list since 1976 to uphold, protect, and support excellence in language by encouraging avoidance of words and terms that are overworked, redundant, oxymoronic, cliched, illogical, nonsensical, and otherwise ineffective, baffling, or irritating. So,
yeah,
those are good words. Those words should not be.
No, managed. Those are excellent words. They know their job well. What words do you think should be retired after this last year?
I don't know how many years of. I don't know how just many this, words have already been.
I don't know if this has widespread use enough, but pogger.
Oh, poggers.
Poggers.
There is no plural pogger.
Just poggers. Just shorten it to pog, guys.
What about like pog champ or weird champ or?
Okay.
The other one.
All right.
Based on epic.
Well, I'm going to
based
tell
should
you.
Be retired.
All right.
I'm going to tell you what words. Okay. So they every year they receive like a lot of nominations. The university said they received more than 1,400 word nominations to ban this year. And more than 200 of those suggested words this year were related to the coronavirus epidemic. It should surprise no one that this year's list was dominated by words and terms related to COVID-19, said Banished Words List Committee members, Associate Professor of English Mary McMine. LSU's Banished Words List has reflected signs of the time since debuting in the mid-70s, and the zeitgeist this year is we're all in this together. By banishing expressions like "we're all in this together,"
please ban that.
Yeah.
Please,
we're not. Everyone, we're separate. We're isolated. Stop that. Pretending.
I remember seeing a comment on a YouTube ad saying like "we're not all in this together." Stop saying that.
Right. Okay.
We're so isolated.
Can I continue?
Yes.
To be sure, COVID-19 is unprecedented in wreaking havoc and destroying lives, but so is the over reliance on unprecedented to frame things. So it has to go too. Here's the full list with reasoning from Lake Superior State University. Number one, the number one thing that they want to retire from our vocabulary forever is COVID-19 or COVID coronavirus, the Rona.
That's a good note.
Any nickname
for
it?
Oh, the Rona is terrible.
Yeah. All of it, I love that name.
All of it.
Yeah.
A large number of nominators are clearly resentful of the virus and how it has overtaken our vocabulary. No matter how necessary or socially and medically useful these words are, we cannot help but wish we could banish them along with the virus itself. Coincidentally, this list arrives, as does a vaccine. The committee hopes this proves a type of double whammy.
Remember when I used to call it Corona?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, remember when we said coronavirus?
Corona, yeah. I think some people still use Corona.
But maybe.
Only weird people. Now people say COVID because they're cool. Or the
it's
Rona.
It's just easier.
It took me like probably a month or two into the pandemic before I realized that coronavirus and COVID are different things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Because one of them is the disease caused by the virus. Yes. Okay. Number two, social distancing. We are tired of hearing the phrase social distancing.
But that kind
of
has like...
Yeah, you can basically just say like...
That has different context
2 yards.
To it.
You can basically just say like 2 yards.
So here's the reasoning. Here's the reasoning. This phrase is useful, as wearing a mask and keeping your distance have a massive effect on preventing the spread of infection. But we'd be lying if we said we weren't ready for this phrase to become useless. Please become useless.
Yeah.
So
it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know if I had heard. I probably have, but I don't remember hearing that word before, March
phrase.
Of 2020.
Yeah, I don't think it was a thing.
I just remember at first joking, like, well, that means nothing changed. And by the end of the year, I'm like, no, please.
Everyone
back.
Made that joke like in April.
Yeah.
And then that joke became.
This isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, it's so not funny anymore. Number three, we're all in this together.
You're not.
Just no. Oh, no. Yeah. And I'm not even, I can skip the explanation on that one. Number four, in an abundance of caution with various phrasings.
Yeah.
It's like through these.
We're just tired of it. Please.
It's like through these uncertain times.
Also, they're saying the phrasing about how to take preventive steps here is vague. What is the standard measurement for caution? Metric or U.S. standard? And what's an abundance of it?
6 feet.
Okay. Number five.
6 feet, 2 meters. Not the same, but close enough, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five.
System sucks.
Also had various phrasings, but basically, in these uncertain times.
Yeah, there it is. I called it.
In these uncertain times.
William just said that.
All of the ads saying, in these uncertain times, people are running out of Nikes.
All those corporate, it's a big montage, and there are people in different walks of life.
Feel good movies.
I don't.
You know what they need?
To be reminded.
Yeah.
The feel good ads.
And there's dramatic music
terrible.
Playing in the background. They say, in these uncertain times,
what they
we
need,
want you to know. That Taco Bell will prepare your burrito for you.
Yeah.
They will.
Overpriced iPad stand.
Okay. So they're saying it sounds like the beginning of a bad movie trailer. Keep as wide a berth of trite parlance as those who don't wear masks in public. Like, stay away from it. What exactly does it mean for times to be uncertain? Look at a clock. Number six.
That's actually a good one.
Right? Number six, pivot. They are tired of hearing pivot. Reporters, commentators, talking heads, and others from the media reference how everyone must adapt to the coronavirus through contactless delivery, virtual learning, curbside pickup, video conferencing, remote working, and other urgent readjustments. And that's all true and vital, but basketball players pivot. Let's keep it that way.
Oh, I thought they were talking about how, like...
No.
Like, news people, like, are, like, bad at arguments.
They're just tired of hearing the word pivot to describe changes made because of that.
Okay,
number seven.
One.
Number seven. Unprecedented.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no explanation needed.
This actually was banished in 2002.
Wow.
Right. And then it came back.
2002 was a crazy year.
What happened?
I don't know.
Might be what happened.
That was before I was born, so.
Okay. So we have some other words and terms. Some other words and terms on the banished list, words list that are not about COVID-19. Number eight. Karen.
Yeah, that was...
Can I read what they say?
I think they got this exactly right.
They got it exactly right. Let me read what their explanation is. What began as an anti-racist critique of the behavior of white women in response to black and brown people has become a misogynist umbrella term for critiquing this perceived over-emotional behavior of women. As one nominator said about reasons for its banishment, I would tell you why, but I'd sound like a Karen.
I used to argue against that, but like... After
I feel like it's devolved into that.
I'm not going to bring it up in front of like anyone who ever uses it because they're going to get the wrong idea about me. But like it kind of is kind of offensive.
It's honestly like I feel like it's used more now just in a way that's totally sexist and rude to women.
Yeah,
like,
it's gotten worse. The usage has gotten worse over time for sure.
Anytime a woman complains about anything, you can just call her a Karen and dismiss what she is saying.
I've seen some say that, like...
It's like a magic word.
There's no, like, cool way to say, like, hey, kids, yo, Karen's not okay. But, like, it's... Yeah.
We don't even need to.
I mean,
okay, number nine.
You said,
number
hey,
nine.
Yo, kids.
Yeah, I think you'll agree with this one. Number nine, sus.
I don't know. I still kind of like sus.
Yeah, I guess that's just the progression.
It has
been
overused.
It is overused, but I don't mind it. But
that's just like the life cycle of like memes and trends.
I liked it better before Among Us came out. Like I remember like Phoebe would call people sus, you know, if they were behaving in a sketchy way or whatever.
And but now with Among Us, it was overused.
Yeah. It's a shortened version of suspicious in the video game Among Us. No committee members play, but our children who do explain that this multiplayer online social game is designed around identifying sus imposters so they can be thrown into the lava.
Well, that's just the life cycle of like memes.
Sometimes it's lava.
Right.
Sometimes it's it depends.
Okay. On So the complainers. The people who nominated this word ask, A, how much effort does it really take to say the entire word? And B, they request, if that can happen, confine the syllable just to the game. Nowhere else. Please stop it.
Fair enough.
Number 10. I know, right?
This one I disagree with.
That's too common.
I know, right?
I kind of like it. I kind of like it. You know why?
That's way too common.
Yes, it gets used a lot, but... I kind of like the way it feels when someone says this.
I know,
they're
right?
agreeing with you.
Yeah.
So I don't mind.
Actually, I agree
so
with that. I like it when people say that to me.
Yeah.
I agree, because I can personally relate to it. It's a lot harder to say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I disagree with that one. I think that they're spot on with everything else.
Yeah. And it is overused, but still, at least it's not negative. It's kind of affirming.
I have a personal connection to that sentiment.
It's so, honestly, like, it's so positive that I find it charming.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a personal connection to that sentiment.
Yes, it's people who are being agreeable.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Because then it's like, cool. I brought up a good point. That makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
That there's ones on there that like shouldn't be said like in the same breath as I know, right?
Yeah. All right, let's do a quick segment where, because it is the beginning of a new year and we just finished our last year, let's talk about the best things of 2020. So let's try and stay positive. It was a little strange year because entertainment was very much interrupted.
Yeah.
You know, some movies got released, a lot of others got delayed, but there wasn't as much entertainment to consume during the year of 2020. But let's talk a little bit about, let's start with movies, since we're talking about movies. What was your favorite movie that was released in 2020? And you don't have a ton to pick from.
Well, considering that I don't have a ton to pick from, I don't think there's any competition. My favorite movie I saw this year was Soul, the new Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was actually really good. I feel like, I don't know, I had some really cool themes.
How about you, Will?
It was also
Mine is
pretty visually cool.
Sonic the Hedgehog. No, it's Soul. I didn't like Sonic the Hedgehog.
But you did see it in 2020. It was one of the only movies you saw in the theater.
It's like, I think it's
in 2020.
The latest 2020 movie that we saw. But it was, there's a point towards the beginning where the animation just out of nowhere becomes like jaw-droppingly, like, jaw-droppingly, mind-bendingly, like, amazing. And the soundtrack gets pumping.
I feel like the opening part was like so fast-paced, but in a really good way.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff to get out of it, like from different angles. Like for me, like, I really like stuff that talks about like playing music and stuff like that. Like that really hits home with me.
Yeah.
The themes about life and stuff like that are really cool too. When I saw the trailers, I thought it would be like, oh, well, yeah, like the animation looks great, but it's just going to be another like, you know, stretchy faces, realistic backgrounds. But no, it's a trip. I have a couple pacing issues with it, but whatever. I mean, the stuff that I love about Soul, I really, really love.
And yeah.
I really want to watch it again because I feel like there's a lot of themes that might hit with me harder on the second viewing.
Allison, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, definitely Soul.
I think we're going to be unanimous. Like, I'm going to say Soul as well.
Tenet was a close second, I'll say.
Tenet.
Close-ish.
Tenet was fine.
I wouldn't say it's close, but Tenet was pretty good.
Well, it's definitely second. It's not close, but it's definitely second.
Mm.
But honestly, like, I don't think I saw very many movies this year that were made in 2020.
Yeah.
Were released in 2020.
I haven't seen more like classic
not
movies.
Not on TV or, mm. yeah.
Yeah, what were the other movies we saw? We saw Wonder Woman 84.
Onward was in 2020.
Onward,
oh, yeah,
which is crazy.
Now, for me, yeah. Onward was definitely, this is just me personally, I thought it was a lower tier Pixar movie. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
I
a bad movie,
yeah.
but it wasn't as nearly as good as like the best Pixar movies. I thought Soul was like
a
top tier.
Yeah,
a top
I would
tier Pixar movie.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
We saw those. What else? There were some others that were released 2020, like either online. We saw Tenet.
Weathering with You.
In the theater. Yeah, Weathering with You was really good.
Although that was released in Japan in 2019.
Yeah, but it didn't come into the U.S. until 2020. And it
was
like in January, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why me and Henry went to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, you said, oh, it could be good. And I was like, no, I don't think it will be. And I was right.
I can tell you why. I can tell you why you went to it. Okay. It was released on Valentine's Day, which we had off of school because it was also like, was it President's? No. President's Day weekend also. Anyway, it was a school holiday, and you just needed to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And
when we used to do that?
I was going to
take
you to it, but then, like, my nails split, like, drastically. Like, it was, like, painful. Like, it split, like, way past the quick. So I had to run to a nail salon and get that glued back together. So I dropped you off at Sonic the Hedgehog. And as a result, I did not see it, and I can't put it on my list of movies that I loved watching this year.
Loved watching? Is that right?
It's obviously number one. But I think
it would probably
because
make my top 10 movies that I've seen that were released in 2020 because I've only seen like two.
I think it was because we enjoyed Detective Pikachu. It wasn't great, but it was like, oh, that's cute. So we were like, oh, maybe we'd enjoy Sonic the Hedgehog, but, you know.
Yeah.
We don't like Jim Carrey. We don't like Sonic. So, like, we're not fans of either of those things. So, like,
specifically Jim Carrey. People who like Jim Carrey really like that movie. People who don't like Jim Carrey really hated that movie. And that's just how it works.
What about TV shows? What was your favorite TV show in 2020?
I would say, well, there's a lot of stuff I was like.
If we're talking about like seasons
whatever,
that are released, then probably Mandalorian season 2.
Yeah, Mandalorian season 2. The latest season of Doctor Who Series 12 was a nice improvement on Series 11, in my opinion.
But it wasn't.
That was great.
Was it released 2020?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Oh.
But I'd have to give it to,
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
Because, there's a New Year's special at the beginning of 2020.
Okay.
But I'd have to give it to Mandalorian, definitely, for like 2020 releases.
I think I agree. I can't think of a TV show that I enjoyed more than The Mandalorian this year.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Mandalorian's
great. There are TV shows that we watched. I don't think they were released in 2020. There were a couple of K-dramas, Korean dramas, that
Were they in 2020?
I don't think that they were made in 2020 or released in 2020, but we watched them in 2020 and they were really, really good.
I just realized that The Mandalorian took the best show spot for the second year in a row.
Yep. Yep. It's gone strong.
Yeah.
That's a good quality series.
Mm-hmm. It won the Talk to Dad Podcast Award. The most important award out of all of them.
Definitely.
All right. What about music? Either album or song.
Okay. So this one's, song. Wait. Now I'm trying to think of a good song.
Because this is an audio podcast, we can play a little clip. I know mine. Give me just a second.
I didn't really follow music that much this year. I want to be following it like a lot more. It's like a, kind of a, I guess it's a resolution for 2021.
This was for sure my favorite song. It might be my favorite album as well.
That's about what I expected.
Yeah. That's Kyoto by Phoebe Bridgers, her album Punisher.
Yeah.
Punisher may or may not be my favorite album. It's a pretty good album. You know, it was released early in 2020. Like, I think it got released right after the pandemic, but it was written before.
Well, not after the pandemic, but after it started.
After the start of the pandemic, right? It's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good. So is that your favorite album and also song?
That might be my favorite. The Matt Berninger album is pretty good.
Berninger.
I haven't listened to it as much, if I'm being honest.
There's a lot of stuff
but
kind of...
it's really good. It's got some good songs on it.
There's a lot of stuff I kind of skimmed through. The only album I listened to in full was... and I need to get more into hip-hop, but I listened to Logic's last album because I had heard that like he made some really bad albums and then he redeemed himself with that one. And I really liked that. The clean version, obviously. But... since this is a Christian household. But I really liked that one. I just listened to that one as I went to bed, because I can pretty much listen to nearly any album that I like before I go to bed. But really, 2020 was more about me like discovering a lot of artists. So like Spoon and LCD Sound System and Yesayer and like
honestly,
a couple
me too.
Others.
I feel like this year is very musical for me, but in terms of 2020 albums, I'm very limited. Like I sort of skimmed through Evermore and Folklore because I heard that they had indie artists on them, which they did, and it was all right.
Which, good for Taylor Swift. She had two albums
in 1 year is impressive.
Yeah.
Alder and
apparently,
Quincy.
Like, very prolific. Her and Aaron Dessner just kept on writing songs.
Yeah.
I think that honestly, like, they deserve an honorable mention. Even if it's not my favorite album of the year, good job. Good work.
But,
way to be productive.
I actually listened to 3 2020 albums all the way through, which might not seem like much, but like more than I had remembered. And that's Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers, which yeah. Which honestly, it seems like an album that would grow on me, but I feel like it hasn't yet. Although Kyoto is my song of the year, personally. Mm-hmm. And then I also listened to The Ascension by Sufjan Stevens all the way through, and honestly, it's a very solid album.
It is a really good album. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten into as much as I have some of his other albums, but it is a really good album when I listen to it. There's also an album that Angel Olsen came out with this year called Whole New Mess, which is basically like an acoustic reworking of her 2019 album called All Mirrors, except it's like really quiet acoustic versions, like stripped-down versions of her songs, and it's pretty good.
But yeah, The Ascension, like, the only other album I've listened to all the way through from Sufjan Stevens is Illinois, which is currently my favorite album. But yeah, I like The Ascension. It's a very hard one to interpret, by the way.
Is that one your album of the year?
No, my album of the year is No Pressure by Logic.
Yeah.
Will made me listen to it, and it was pretty good. It's also the only hip-hop album I've listened to all the way through.
It's kind of nice hearing an artist. So, like, musical artists have gigantic egos, like massive. Like I once read an article about some random musical artist who was talking. Well, I'll tie it back, but who was talking about how like this magazine, like Q magazine, featured me in one of their articles, but they never made me like the lead featured. I guess they just think my music is terrible. But on No Pressure, the rapper actually like raps about like how like half the internet hates him and like how much that sucks, and it's so refreshing to hear someone like be honest about themselves and just be proud of their work, but like be be singing about like the creative struggle and not just like, I'm the greatest like songwriter alive. It's a nice change of pace. Mm-hmm. That aspect of it.
Allison has one.
Wait, well, what's your song of the year?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, also,
I don't have one, I guess. I can't really
also,
think of
I guess
one.
I guess a couple of honorable mentions for Song of the Year for me are Make Me an Offer I Cannot Refuse by Sufjan Stevens and I can't remember which one. One of them off of No Pressure. I can't remember the title.
I like the opening track off of the Haim album, Women of Music Part 3.
I was about to mention Women of Music Part 3 by Haim. I was going to say, I've listened to Haim in the past. I haven't really listened to that much of them, but I was just checking to see if that came out this year, and it did. I like it. It's really good. There's some good songs on there. I actually put one of them. I made a big, long, 4-hour playlist for New Year's Eve so that it would feel like we were having a party at home. And 3 a.m. is the one that I added. Our party did not last till 3 a.m. This is it. It kind of starts with... kind of starts with just, a random phone message, but it becomes kind of just a nice, groovy song.
Yeah, no biggie. If you're up for it, just hit me up.
What about favorite food from 2020?
What?
Anyone?
What does that mean?
Something you ate this year that you really, really enjoyed?
We made good Ugor bars, I guess. I did not expect this one.
We had some good stuff in Italy.
We did have some excellent Italian food.
Yeah.
The taste of my own tears. I don't know.
I think the deep fried artichoke we had in Italy and Rome was really excellent.
That was good.
We ate a lot of sourdough, especially I feel like I have really perfected my sourdough pizza recipe. It's much better than it has been in the past.
It's just hitting me how big of an era 2020 was. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the future I'm going to have a piece of sourdough and be like, oh, this is kind of depressing.
I doubt. I mean, it might just take you back to fond, nostalgic.
Strange times.
Memories of being at home.
Or it'll give me child trauma.
Your dad. I doubt it.
Oh.
It's so good.
By the way, there's also games that exist. I only played one 2020 game this year, and it was Animal Crossing New Horizons. So, yeah, participation award.
It does seem like the game of the year because it's so much about being at home and trying to relax and calm down.
Yeah, it was released at a really good time. And I would say Among Us, but that was released 2 years ago, actually.
Oh, really? It just became popular this year?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
2018.
Interesting. I didn't know that either. That seems like a 2020 game.
For a while, I played a lot of Plague Inc., which is about,
I don't think that was 2020. I think that was also 2018.
Yeah, but that also became popular this year for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
There's been a disease called COVID-19. It's been going around a lot.
We're
going
to ban that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And for Treat Yourself today... we have some stuff from Daiso. Daiso, the Japanese dollar store that we went to during Christmas shopping. And when we were there, I found some things. These are Japanese cookies and crackers. They come in little, tube-like packages. And they're different colors. They're blue and pink and purple. And in different flavors. So we've got one that is, I'm trying to read the Japanese. One is chocolate. What does that say? Rangu dosha. Choco Rongo Dosha. On the packet, it says Choco Rongo Dosha, which means, I don't know, little chocolate cookies, I guess.
I think you knew that when you lived in Japan.
One that says black cocoa, Kuro Cocoa. One that says France butter flavor. And then the last one is Ebi, which is shrimp flavor.
Oh.
Shrimp flavor cookie. They're not cookies. I think these are more like crackers.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
We can hope.
These look good.
We'll save those for the end. I think these are like, I think they're basically shrimp flavored rice crackers.
Oh, cool.
Hmm. All right. And take a little picture just in case I decide to post something, which I've been very bad about doing lately. Things that I promised to post, I still haven't. Maybe I'll do a makeup post where I just post all the stuff from past podcast episodes that I promised to post and never did, just so I can feel better about myself. All right, let's start with the chocolate-filled cookies. They're little tiny cookies.
Oh, just the shrimp ones were crackers. Okay.
I think so. I think those are the only ones that are crackers. The rest of them are cookies. What do you guys think?
Those are really good. I mean, they're just... Yeah, they're just
very
cookies.
Tasty, I thought.
Yum, yum, yum.
Coconutty.
Delicioso.
Well, it just kind of tastes like... Because I feel like different countries have, like, different, like, I guess, flavors for certain ways of doing certain flavors. And I feel like this is a very... I don't know. Chocolate just sort of tastes different in Japan. I can kind of see that.
Not just that. The cookie itself tastes different. The butter flavor in the cookie tastes like Japanese dairy.
I guess the cookie is kind of like...
Which is a good thing.
The cookie is kind of like Japanese ice cream cones.
They remind me a little bit of a Pepperidge Farm cookie.
Yeah.
They have a good texture. The chocolate tastes good. I liked them. They're really tasty. Anyone want to say they're anything other than delicious?
There's a specific type of Pepperidge Farm cookie that the texture is very much like those.
Like a Milano.
Yeah, they're like Milanos.
All right, let's try the black cocoa ones. These kind of look like little tiny Oreos.
They do.
Hmm.
And they taste like Oreos. Yes.
Yeah, they're just smaller Oreos.
They're just tiny
Oreos.
They're
like half-size Oreos.
With cooler designs on the cookies.
Yeah.
They're good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them have cool
designs. So are Oreos.
No complaints with them. I think they're delicious.
Have these little...
Yum, 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 yum.
These little, like, loops that go in and out on them.
Yeah, kind of a cool design on the cookie itself. They're really tiny. Let's try the France butter cookies.
Can I make a comment about the size of those cookies? Yes. I feel like they're a little... As far as the size goes, it's a better size for just popping in your mouth.
It's about the size of a
Oreo.
But they're not like too small, like Oreo,
size.
Like
maybe
the mini Oreos.
Bigger
yeah,
than Oreo.
They're the right size.
Well, Oreos you kind of have to stretch to get them in your mouth in one.
And the tiny ones are a bit too tiny, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they're just right. They're like a really good size.
Yeah, they're like the size of like a.
Are they like strawberry cookies?
Somewhere
they're butter.
Ah, okay.
Like right in between the size of a quarter and the size of like a milk lid.
I know one person is going to like these. Allison,
do you
like these?
How do you know that I like them?
Because you like shortbread
cookies, and these are shortbread.
They are shortbread cookies. I like them. I think the butter flavor in the butter cookies.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
The butter flavor in the butter cookies is very similar to the cookie base in the chocolate-filled cookies that we tried.
Yeah.
It's got that...
Just no filling in them.
Yeah.
No filling in them, but they're very similar. And they're similar in texture too. The Japanese dairy flavor is just a little bit different and it's hard to describe in what way. I think they must feed their cows something better. I don't know. They have really good dairy and you can taste it in there. It's really good.
Are we ready for the shrimp crackers?
Yes.
It's going to taste weird after eating all these sweet ones. But I didn't want to eat this one first and have it, like, color our taste.
It's packaged similarly.
They're super
similar,
thin. They're the same, flavor. Like, a little bit bigger than a quarter, but they're super thin crackers. Pass them around. All right, what do you think of the...
That is a solid meh. Mm. And I'm giving it a bit of leeway.
M-E-H. Meh.
Because this is a weird time to have, like, shrimp-flavored crackers, but I... I don't like the fishy aftertaste. There's ways where that can work, but not here.
I'm going to be honest. I'm giving it okay. Like, if you want shrimp... I feel like I don't really want shrimp crackers right now, but if I do, I'd probably like it.
Dad, I'm guessing you're giving it a delicious.
I wish. So I don't think the flavor's bad. I feel like the texture is good while you're chewing it, but because the rice cracker kind of like stays in your molars after you chew it, it's a little distressing. So like there's a shrimp flavor you can't get rid of. Somewhere between okay and meh. I might have to think about it. Probably meh. I think meh.
Okay. And I think they are.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I really like them. The texture is great.
Yeah.
The flavor is good.
I feel like it's just dragged down for me because I'm not in the mood.
The texture is good. The flavor is not bad for me. But like that flavor lingering trapped in your teeth.
Don't do that on the podcast. That's why we mute the mics.
Having that flavor.
I just broke the first rule of treat yourself.
You are canceled.
Broke the rules of your own game.
So yeah, I don't know, man. They're not bad, but I don't want them. I don't want that flavor like trapped in my teeth until I can brush them.
I like.
I'm acting disgusted really by them, but I'm giving them a meh because I just ate a whole bunch of cookies. So that could be an effect, but yeah,
I liked them. I liked all of these. Every single one of them, I thought was delicious.
Yeah, it was a pretty good one overall.
Yeah,
I think most of all of them were delicious.
So. That is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks for being on the podcast, Henry, Will, and Allison.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us at Twitter on TTD Podcast. And you can find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 230. I'd like to thank, in addition to people who are listening, I'd like to thank the Foxy Morons, who are just about to come out with a new album. We'll have to talk about that more on the podcast in the future. But they are the band who allowed us to use their music for our intro and outro music. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend, and two, you can leave us a review. If you leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast, that helps us out. And anytime you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps other people be able to find the podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.